sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
All right, good evening, good evening, good evening. All right, guys, gather around. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 19, 20 and 21. Good evening. Hey, if you put an order in for Jesus, the shirts came in today, so I'll have them there on Sunday as well. But if you ordered the shirts, I've got them here. They're in this box. Bella's been wanting to know what's in the box, so there we go. So the shirts are in. You don't have to pay for them tonight. Again, just drop that in the box on Sundays. Put it there on the envelopes there for the Jesus shirts for outreach. But you can pick up your shirts tonight. All right, gather around. All right, Genesis chapter 19, and let's pray. If you got your prayer cards with you, I'm still praying for my one guy to come and the Brother Andrew card. And so, Lord Jesus, I just give you tonight, and I just ask for this brother, or this, well, I hope to be brother someday, that he would come to know you and save me your Lord, and he would plug into this church. And that God, that I've shared the gospel with him plenty of times, but he still wants to go his way, and he thinks he's got it all figured out. But he knows he doesn't. So, Lord Jesus, just do that work in his life. And, Lord, as we study your word tonight, that we leave here tonight more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this evening. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Genesis chapter 19... and there came two angels. So remember the wheeling and dealing that Abraham did. Abraham is like, if there was 50 righteous, would you destroy Sodom? If you would, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Finally says, hey, go get, get your nephew and get him out of there. Get Lot out of there. And so now he sends a couple of angels. And the angels, and it came in the evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So remember, when they parted company, he was just looking towards Sodom. Then he's in the plains of Sodom. He gets captured. His uncle comes and rescues him and everybody else. Everyone else benefits from Lot's uncle, Abraham. Everyone benefits from Lot's relationship to his uncle. His uncle was considered a friend of God because he obeyed God. It was considered as righteousness unto him. And we're going to see this typology of Jesus, even in Abraham, because it's because of Abraham's righteousness, others are going to get blessed. And so here, Abraham is praying that his nephew gets out of there. So these two angels come, and Lot sees them, and he's in the city gate. So now he's not looking towards Sodom. Now he's not moving closer towards Sodom. Now he's involved with the very city. He's a city gate. If you know your Proverbs, you know also Proverbs 31. We know that elders, they sit at the gate of the city. They pronounce judgment. They do contractual agreements with one another. You've seen that in the Ruth and Boaz when he went to the city gate. They wield and deal business there. You're going to see later with Absalom. He hangs out at the city gate and he says, "Oh, if my father would have had time for you, but I have time for you." And so that's what we call about usurping God's anointing, his authority there. And so that's being an Absalom. So here he is in the city gate. So he's immersed in the city. He's in the culture, and we're going to see that the culture is in him as well. And then look what he says here. And he said, "Behold now, my lords," lowercase, L-O-R-D, in other words, paying respect to them, but they're not lords. They're not. This is not an Old Testament appearance of Christ. These are actually angels who turn in and says, "I pray you into your servant, turn into the servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and groom your ways." And he says here, and he said, "I shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned to him, and he entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. So Sodom's not as big as the city of St. Paul, but it's big enough that there's many that, and it's also small enough that that they know that they've come in. And that would be the custom. You would go to the city square, and you would see who would take you in. That's still a little bit that you can do that in Austria, you can do that in Sweden, you can do that in, well, not so much in Sweden anymore, but it used to be that you could go to the city square and people were offering a Zimmer, a room or a bed and breakfast, or come to their homes. That happened to me when I got stranded in Kuwait for 10 days. I was supposed to go there and do some, I was going to do ministry, but I didn't get on the secure list to get on the bases there, so I literally went to the city square, and I was told where to go, and I went and found some immigrants, and I was able to be taken in. And then, you know, a few days later, a ministry that I contacted there got a hold of me, and I was able to, I was given housing for a while. But that literally was taken in, and that hospitality, and that is the way it is even into this day in the Middle East. And so there's that hospitality that's taken in. But Lot knew something about Sodom and here in the plains of Gomorrah. He knew something. He says, "No, you're not hanging out in the city street. You're not going to hear the city square. You're not going to do that. Press them, come on in." So now everyone in the city, young and old, are coming, and they're compassed around the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men which came to you in this night? Bring them out that we may know them." Sexually. Men. Thinking these angels are men. They don't know what they're going to be getting involved with here. But that's how corrupt. Listen. As you study, now I remember reading through the Old Testament for the first time, brand new believer. Had a lot of time on my hands when I first became a Christian, and so had a lot of home confinement or bear's confinement. So I read the Bible, read the Old Testament, and I didn't understand why whole cities had to be wiped out. And it just, it kind of perplexed me that God says, "How would he wipe out even the animals?" And then I go, and then the question is like, I know intuitively God is not wrong. I knew that from a very young age as a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I always thought God was wrong and we were the right ones. In fact, I thought I was my own God. But I just, something in me, and I know now the power of the Holy Spirit's in me, I just knew that if I did not understand something in the Bible, I knew I was wrong. That's how I approached it. That's how I still approach it. If there's something off, the first thing I look at is there's something off, there's something wrong with me. So if I didn't understand something in the Bible, I just knew there was something. So I just began to study. And I'm a history geek. It's the only class I ever showed up to in school sober. That's the only thing that I would do, that I would show up and I would participate. And I wanted to know about history. And so I would study and wanted to find out more and more and more. And as I began to study, I realized Sodom and Gomorrah was like the worst of the worst, but a lot of the Canaanites, a lot of the Ites, a lot of the of the of these things. They were into, again, the rampant homosexuality, the rape, the murder, the incest, and bestiality. And so that's why God says, you got to wipe them all out. And that's actually because God loves us, he has to judge it. He has to utterly root it out because he cares about us. It's because of his love. It's because of his great love, watching what mankind does to himself. It's because of that. And so I think, well, man, God was really mean. Why did he wipe these whole people out? But then I began to understand. Again, so I would encourage you, same thing. You read through the Bible and you don't understand something. If your first impulse is like, I don't understand this, I'm just mad, you're wrong. Just say you're wrong. And find out why you're wrong. Just don't stay mad. And so here, Lot knows something here. And maybe Lot was trying to influence the city. Right? But I want to share something with you. If you're spending more time with the city, who's influencing who? You know? I mean, if... It's the same thing that I say when I learned a long time ago. And again, why we chose to home educate. I wasn't afraid of the school systems. It was our lifestyle doing ministry. I just wanted to be able to go whenever we go. And every day was a learning experience. My kids learned more than they would have going to a box building and being told what to know instead of how to learn. And that's just the way it was. I learned how to learn, not what to know. And so that's why I chose it. But make no mistake. For those of you who are committed to the public school, and there's public school teachers in our church who actually home educate their children. That's a conversation they have with teachers. That's interesting. But if you send your kids to Caesar's schools, do not be surprised when they come back acting like Romans. Did you get that? If you're going to participate in Caesar's world, do not be surprised when they come back acting like Romans. So that's your choice. There is a way to combat that. There are some pretty good charter schools. There's some pretty good private schools. There's some pretty good even public schools. And that's why I'm for the voucher system as well. But here, he's not influencing the city. So much so we're going to see that because of his relationship or his compromise, people are going to suffer because of him. And so Lot went out the door and he said to them, and he shut the door after them, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. In other words, I owe them protection. Well, what about your daughters? I want you to understand, this is religion. All I need to know about your religion is how you treat women and children. That's all I need to know. Don't give me about how you treat cats. I don't care. But listen, and that's religion. That's all I need to know about your religion is what you think about women and when it comes to children. And so that's it. But that is religion. Religion is man's rules and regulations, and they have a lot more. And I've noticed this in religion. You're saying, but aren't we in a religion, chick? Nope, we're in a relationship with God. I've noticed in any religion, put the ism behind it, they have a lot more rules and regulations for women than the men do. We also see this in Jesus' time when they brought a woman caught in adultery. That takes two to commit adultery. You know that, right? But they only brought the woman naked and threw him before Jesus and said they wanted him to judge her. What about the guy? So religion, if you want to study religion, find out how what their view of women is, and then children, and especially little girls. And so here when it comes to, that's all I need to know, all right? There's some religions that women don't get into heaven unless the husbands allow them to come into heaven. There's religion where women are subservient, and they're told that, well, you know, you got to listen to me or else, and there's all these rules and regulations. So wherever pure, true Christianity is brought to the masses, on mission fields, wherever, it brings liberty to the captives. In fact, that's what it tells us in the New Testament. In fact, that's what it tells us in Isaiah 61. It brings liberty to the captives, and make no mistake, religion enslaves people and women are the greatest sufferers of religion. And that's been my study even before I became a believer. That's what really turned me off to a lot of religions, was how they treated women and what they thought of women. And so here, he says here, and so now, here's so much so that Lot now, that Lot is immersed in the city. Who's influencing who? Who are you spending more time with? And in the guise of stuff. I find people miss more church, more ministry, more relationship with the body of Christ because they think it's more important for them to be a friend to the someone in the world, and they're going to try to bring them. No, bring them to church. When you read this Brother Andrew card, it says, I pray regularly for my family members or friends that there might be an open moment of the Holy Spirit. I will reach out, invite my family and friends, whether unchurched or inactive, to attend worship and other events with me. You know the world has no problem inviting you to whatever they're doing. They have no problem, and they have no problem being judgmental, saying, why can't you come to what I'm doing? Why can't you do this? What about this? And don't say that you have to go to church. Let them know that you want to, that you'll encourage them to continue. You know, the world already has their own prayer card. They're there to, again, John chapter 8, verse 44 on, says, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, and you speak his native tongue. He's to lie, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's all the enemy, and the enemy within the world, and a compromised Christian, that's all they want to do. And again, have you ever met a compromised Christian? Again, forget about the world. I have no problem with the world acting like the world. But when they say, well, I don't have to go to church, tells you all you need to know. That's your argument? You think you have to? Folks, right now we get to. So look around me right now. What we're doing right now in this country, in this state, in this city, let me tell you, there's only one other country that I've been in that you can do this openly, and that is Israel. That is Israel. In other words, in the midst of all religions around, we can be openly meeting in a park and be talking about it. People might get upset. But I can tell you there's people from other faiths, other religions, other countries that there's no way, and that's why the church is underground, that's happening there. And make no mistake, there are Christians in Iran and they are suffering because of that religion that dominates that country. And folks, remember, they're Persians, they're not Arabs, but they are dominated by a religion that has sworn to take out Israel and to take out the great Satan, which is America. That's religion. And then how do they view women? That is religion. But there are Christians, and there are a lot of Christians in Iran. And so here, tells us here that, again, he's saying, hey, take my daughters. Are you that corrupt that you would say, take my daughters? They're virgins. They haven't known a man. Do what you will to them. But what do? No. These guys are such flaming, rabid sodomites. That's where we get the word sodomites from and what they do. Sodomites. That they say no. And he says here, only these men do nothing to them. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow, remember, he was sitting in the city gate. He was trying to be an influence. He thought he was influencing them. He spent all this time, he was looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He started moving closer towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And now he's in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And now he's an elder and a city leader in the city of Sodom. And this is what they say of him. Can I let you know this, Christian, especially you compromised Christians? They're never going to accept you. Never going to accept you at all. And so here, and this is what happens. When you finally make that stand, when you finally say, you know what, I want to go to church, or I want to be a part of this, or I want to be part of the body of Christ, I want to do this event, I want to hang out at that coffee house, I want to feed people in the park, I want to do these things. And you finally make a stand and say, you know what, I have spent so much time holding your hand. oh, spend your time and listen to me. Spend your time in doing this. And I've invited you over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you how it works. I'm going to be over here. And if you really want to spend time with me, this is where I'm going to be. And they're never going to look at all the time that you've spent with them and think, well, I guess I kind of owe it to you to go spend a little bit of time with you. They don't look at it that way. They don't care. And this was what will come out. So do not be shocked when they act in Caesar's world, when they act like Romans. Do not be shocked and get offended. The reason why you're offended is like, I thought we were friends. I thought we were this. Really? Listen, I am not to get my friendship and my fellowship from the world, but I am to be a friend to the world. And the best thing that I can be a friend to the world is what it tells me in Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. A compromised Christian or a person in the world, they're deceitful. And they're not going to care for you like you care for them. And so when you finally make that stand, and you finally said, you know what? I want to go. You don't understand. I want you to go. The Word of God is being taught there. We have fellowship there. We have things. And then I challenge you. Find out what we're doing and see if you can eat better than us. See if you can hang out with us. See if you can do these things. What do you do? I like that we have a couple of young men and women here, a few of them over the years, and divided, broken homes, and one in particular is just, they said, hey, well, we got to move again. But, you know, my parent doesn't want any help from you guys. Great. How are you guys going to move? I don't know. They have a friend coming over. So not a problem. Well, we're all going to come over and help you because you're members of our church. And we're just all going to show up. And we're just going to show up and we're going to move you. Now, if your parent wants the assistance of what we're doing, they'll have to go through you. And then we all show up. And they're like, well, I didn't want anybody from your church to show up. And they go, well, they're not here for you. They're here for us, and they're moving our stuff. And then the parent found it within themselves to allow us to help her. They said, but they're not here for you. I said, be very clear about this. We are not here for you. And every time that parent would say, hey, can you do this and stuff like that, we would ask the young man and woman, well, what do they want? Yeah. Hey, guys, can you do this? Can you move this for my parent? Can you do this? Yeah, we'll do that for you. But make no mistake, we're not doing this for your parent. That affected them, even to this day. They kind of showed up at church a few times, but then they heard me speak and I offended them. But anyways, at least they came, fed them well. But we've done that to quite a few young men and women in this church. We're not helping your parent, we're helping you because this is your church. How do you do that? How do you do that when we come and we do those things? And he says, here, look at this fellow. And he said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will he deal worse with you than with them? And they pressed sore upon the men. Even Lot came near to, and they break down the door. But the men put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. We're going to see this again in the book of Revelation. He says, you've spilled the blood of my prophets, now drink blood, and a third of the world's water system turned to blood. You lived in spiritual darkness, a third of the light's going to be gone. He says, now look, you're going to live in physical darkness. You know, you killed these people, a third of you are going to die. And the book of Revelation tells us, just and true are your judgments, God. There's nothing. So again, when you read anything in the Bible, go, I just don't understand that. And unless I understand it, I'm mocking you, by the way, unless I understand it, then that's just wrong. Listen, you don't understand something, just accept the fact that you're wrong. I've been doing that for 43 years. So then you need to come and study and be in God's Word. You know, the world that you're trying to hang out with and bring in there, just exactly why are you spending so much time with the world when you get them here? But shouldn't they see what a blessing church is and the body of Christ? And they go, you understand that's why we see Abraham going to be Abraham and why God created the nation of Israel. It was God was going to bless And again, they were all Gentiles until he made Jews. I'm going to bless one race of people. Here he goes. I'm going to make this race. They're going to be Jews. They're going to be Hebrews. We're going to give them circumcision. We're going to do this stuff. And the whole world's going to see how I treat this nation. And they're going to go, I want to be a part of that. And then with Moses comes the law. And he set up a way for someone to be proselytized. In fact, when he made the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and then when the temple there in Jerusalem, there was the outer court of the Gentiles, where Gentiles could come and be close and then eventually proselytize and become a Jewish person because they saw how God treated. But the Jews blew it from day one. Jews just tanked it, chunked it up. And so much so that when Jesus shows up on the scene, they turn the court of the Gentiles into a flea market, into a money market, into a convenience store for people from out of town who were Jews to come and offer sacrifices and get your kosher sacrifices. But it starts all the way back here. He says here, you're going to be a judge of us? You're going to be a judge of us? You might have thought that you might have had say in a person's life. You might have thought like, hey, we're close enough here and you might be, and they're going to look, they don't know much about the Bible, but the thing they know is they'll tell you Jesus said not to judge. No. When you read, you might want to know your Bibles because he says, be careful. When you judge, be careful how you judge. And when the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. And then Jesus goes on to make several more judgments. He didn't say never to judge. He says, be careful how you do judge. It's going to come back on you as well. All right. That's why I learned when I went in the Marine Corps how to point at people. You point like this with your hand, all fingers pointing one way, because someone will say, you know, either you're pointing one finger to you and three fingers back at you. No, you point like this as a Marine, like that. All the fingers are pointing to you. That's how we do that. Listen, he says, we're going to deal worse with you. He strikes him. So now here they're with blindness. And the men said a lot, have you here any besides son-in-law and young sons and your daughters and whatsoever you have in the city, bring them out to this place. All right, Lot. Let's see what influence you have. You've immersed yourself into the city. You're a city leader. You've got sons. You got son-in-laws. You got daughters. You got son-in-laws. And you got friends. Let's see what kind of influence you have. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent to us to destroy it. That's why I've told you the last few weeks. If God does not bring judgment on the nation of America, he needs to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I just mentioned one sin, and that of the abortion, I think is a great plight. We want to be abolitionists. We want all abortions, all human abortions to stop. And the reason why slavery was able to be abolished, by the way, America was the only nation in the world that abolished slavery. Others, they didn't make it profitable and it kind of went away and they voted it out. But it was abolished because you could see the effects immediately of slavery in the slave markets. Abortion, you don't see the effects of that. You don't see that. You don't hear about it. We don't see it unless you're standing out, at the abortion mills. But just one sin alone, God would have to murdering people. And again, as I've shared with you, I've participated in abortion, not getting one myself. I'm old school. I'm a guy. I don't think guys get pregnant. But I've had others and women, and I've done all these things. I participated, raised money, did whatever I can, had no problem with it. Until I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in me, and I realize, hey, that's at conception all the way through. And so here, he says, if you got any influence, you got anybody, get them out. We're going to destroy this place. And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked his sons-in-law. They laughed him to scorn, some of your translations will say. They didn't believe him. You're talking crazy talk. What are you talking about? You're crazy. You're going to be a judge of me? You're no better than me. You're no higher value. You don't have moral integrity whatsoever. Look at you. And again, he could have been, upset about the sin that was around him. He might think that he's an influence. But I try this. That's why I say put people's names on a prayer card and pray with me every week, every Thursday and every Sunday. And what you're going to do and watch God open the door through the Holy Spirit. People locally here, not distance. Locally right here. And you say you have friends and you say you have influences? Really? Invite them to church this Sunday. Invite them to church. Start inviting people to church. And you will see quickly what influence you think you really have. And you'll see that you have spent more time with them in more places. And you might even think, hey, well, I spent a lot of time. Of course they'll come to church with me once. And if they won't, I don't care if you guilt trip them. I don't care if you trick them in there. Say, I've spent all this time with you. You're coming to church with me one time. One time. Now, I've been trying. Got a guy I've known since I was 4 years old. One of my last guys who has not become a believer. But every time I go out to California, visit family and friends, I go out there and I'm like, you're going to come to church one time. No, he keeps resisting. But this is the same person when I was a compromised Christian, when I was backslidden. And I'm trying to go back to the world. And I tell you what, when you got the Holy Spirit in you, it's expensive to get high. It's expensive to get barely a buzz going. It is dope is for dope. That's why they call it dope. And the alcohol. And I finally, after a great account, some money, lots of shots, everything got alcohol in me, I finally got a little bit of a buzz going. I'm trying to get the Holy Spirit away from me. And I'm getting away from it. This guy I've known since I was 4 years old pulls me out of the party and says, chick, you got to get born again again. What? You got to give your life back to Jesus. I'm like, dude, you never come to church with me. You're the farthest thing from it. And he goes, you're the only one. Right? You've made it out of this pit. We need you on the outside to pray for the rest of us. Now, he swears a lot, and he tells a lot. I mean, he swears not just cussing, but to this day he says, I don't ever remember saying that. Well, I do. And I don't believe him because you're of your father, the devil. You're a liar. You're not going to admit that. You know what that's like. You've lost the argument. You've totally lost the debate. Truth, fact, reason, and logic has left it. And now it just goes personally attacked. That's why when someone gets personal on me, I'm like, I know I won the debate. I just start smiling. I go, what's up? And I go, I know I won. You didn't win. No, just got personal. You went after this. I know I won. I know I've already won the debate. But I'm not going to expect the world to tell me the truth. And so here, they scorned him. They left him scorned. We don't believe in you. Because of this compromised person who's supposed to know God. Nope, they don't believe him. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, I'm going to make a point here. I believe this is an Old Testament reference or an Old Testament type of the rapture of the church. In other words, the rapture is that he's going to take us and remove us. In other words, he's not going to help us endure the test. In other words, we don't have to go. We're not going to be in the test. And I believe this is one of the references. And I'll show you as we go through the New Testament on Sundays, where even Jesus points to this as well. And even the Apostle Paul and others referencing this. So I'm not going to help you endure through this trial. That's why I don't believe the church is going to go through the tribulation as well. We're not going to endure through it. And so in the morning, he says, arise and get out. And while he lingered, come on already, the men laid a hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. We cannot judge this city until you are out. God will remove the church in the rapture. And that which is restraining, I believe the Holy Spirit that's in us. The Holy Spirit will still be here on this earth. But the Holy Spirit, that's you and I, the restrainer, once it's removed in the church, all hell literally is going to break loose through that tribulation period. And so here, and it came to pass that they brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind you, neither stay you in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Well, wait a minute. Now it's a capital L. Now he's meeting the Lord, not the angel. Now he's meeting the Lord. And he says here, behold, now your servant has found grace in your sight. He's not talking to angels now. He's talking to the Lord. And it says here, I found mercy, which you have shown me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near. Flee to it, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not of a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have accepted you concerning this thing. Also, I will not overthrow this city, the which you have spoken. Haste, you, escape there, for I cannot do anything till you come there. The tribulation can't happen. God's judgment cannot come as far as the tribulation judgment. Not a national judgment when it comes to America. That's not a worldwide judgment. That's not the tribulation as I'm talking about here. I cannot do anything until you become another. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. Then the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities of the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back before him, and she became a pillar of salt. You'll see another reference to this in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Looking back and longing for that. He had to pull her out. The Lord had to pull him out. The angels had to pull him out. They brought him to the Lord. And still, even at that, she looked back. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered. And here's your verse you want to underline. Verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Lot was saved because of the righteousness that was imputed to Abraham. Remember chapter 12, verse 3 on. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. He made an everlasting covenant from chapters 15 through 17 about the land. And because Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him to righteousness, Lot was saved. Because take this note down. Well, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And the reason why I say go to 2 Peter chapter 2, because I'm going to give you the reference, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. I just don't trust you to go there on your own, because you won't write it down and you're going to commit it to your superior memory. So you won't go there. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Remember I just told you about Lot? In the city, part of the city council, part of the city gate. Look at verses 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Wait a minute, Lot, you were part of it. I want you to connect Genesis chapter 19, verse 29 to this. Lot was saved because of someone else's righteousness. Because of the promise God made to Abraham. And he remembered Lot. Because he remembered Abraham, he remembered Lot. Come on, man. Make that connection. You and I are sinners. That's the next evangelism shirt that's coming out. It'll say Calvary Chapel, St. Paul, and then right in the big middle of it will be sinners. We're going to model it after the St. Paul Saints baseball shirt. It'll be sinners. And on the back will be Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that right, Crystal? Did I get it right this time? There you go, Romans 5:8. I've been quoting another passage, but that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, because make no mistake, you and I are Lot. You and I are sinners saved by the grace of God, and we're saved because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I stand alone upon my own righteousness, no, but upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ and what he paid the price for me. And each and every one of us, and you can be a compromised Christian, and you can have that guilt. You can be vexed, and oh, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm involved in this. But because of what Jesus Christ did for us, that's how we stand before God. Sinners saved by grace. So again, righteous Lot, vexed in his spirit. Man, he was compromising part of the whole city. But still, even at that, God had to remove it and could not do anything. So the most compromised, born again, saved sinner, compromised Christian will go in the rapture. And if you have problems with that, talk about it on the way up. And so here, even Hebrews chapter 11 mentions Lot and his righteousness. Because verse 29 of Genesis chapter 19, God remembered his promise to Abraham, and he saved Lot. Verse 29. Verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, he and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and he had his two daughters. Can I just tell you this? You should just follow God's plan. He ended up in the mountains anyways, right? I'll tell you the experience that I had when coming here. I thought I was just going to assist my best friend, Mike Fernandez. But by the time we came here in 1988 and God shut the door and said, no, not now, but later, right when we were walking off the plane, you know, pre the Osama bin Laden can't meet people at the gate anymore, airports. And as we were walking off the plane, I heard God say, not now, but later, because we were coming here after a year of marriage. We were going to come back to St. Paul, love St. Paul, and we're going to plant churches with Pastor Mike. And I looked at Kimberly and I said, did you hear from God? And she said the very same thing. He said, not now, but later. Okay. There was Mike and Lynn. Hey, they're all excited. We walked right up to him, says, hey, God said, not now, but later. And they go, cool, Holy Spirit. And we had a great 10 days here. No tension. Are you going to come or not? And then going back to California, and then my pastor asked me to come on staff. I said, why didn't you tell me before I left? He goes, well, I didn't want that to be in the makeup. I said, well, God said not now, but later. And he says, okay, just however long that is. And then 3 years later, it was later, and we come. And I thought I had this vision, and the vision that you can go to our website and see. And I presented that to Mike, and he goes, that's not my vision. My vision's this. That's why specifically it's called Calvary Chapel Twin Cities. He goes, I've got a different vision. And by then they had already moved the church to the western suburbs, to the western side of Minneapolis. And I said, but I'm called to St. Paul. And he goes, guess you're gonna do it. And I argued with it, struggled with it. And I was like, no. I want to be assisting pastor. I want you to be in trouble for what I do. I enjoyed that from my last pastor. I love being an assistant pastor. I could be a firefighter. I could say all the rough and tough things. And my pastors want to hire me. Talk to him. Listen, there was two petitions being signed by people in the church to ask my pastor to fire me. First one, it was an actual physical petition. 6 months later, they tried to get a second one going, and I just showed up when they had the party where they were having the petition. Said, can I sign it? They're like, just give up. All right? I go, what do you mean? I said, I'm like a shot of Novocaine, folks. I sting at first. You go numb, and I just wear you down. So they just give up. My pastor says, as long as they're angry at you and stuff, you're doing the right job. Listen, he says here. So again, by day two, my pastor calls me and says, you figured it out? Because he already knows Mike and Lynn. And I go, what? He goes, you're going to be doing Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. I go, you knew that before we left? And he goes, yes. You and all the elders, you know, yeah, we all knew that. And you didn't tell me? He goes, yeah. If we told you, you probably wouldn't go. You would linger like Lot. You would linger. And then I would end up having to fire you. It would confuse everybody at church because you and Mike were the deacons and you hired me. He was our second pastor. You guys hired me. The church had grown from 15 to 25 people to, you know, almost 1,000 people. And then I would have to fire you. And that would just confuse people. And then you would just end up in St. Paul anyways. I go, man, you tricked me. For Jesus. You would have lingered. Oh, yeah, I would have. I'm Lot. I get Lot. I totally understand that. And so here, come. Look what his daughters say. And the firstborn said to them, so they're up in the mountains anyways. The angel told them. I have others that, again, we're going to see the book of Judges. They walk with God, forget about God, leave God, get into bondage, cry out to God for being saved. He sends a judge. They save them. And then every time they get right with God, they repeat it. But every time they get into bondage, their bondage is longer. So every time someone comes back to the Lord, I'm like, you need to stay with the Lord because I don't think there's enough time left before the rapture of the church, before we're out of here, that you're going to be able to backslide again. You might as well just stay close this time. And so here, he tells them here, you just ended up in the mountains anyway, so there, just go. Just go. We planted a church. We planted Calvary Chapel Sioux Falls. Brought out the pastor. We had a church. We've been going 18 months. We had a congregation about 35, 40 people. We had a radio station. Had a building. I got him into debt. Got the place going. But we didn't have a regular pastor. Sent out my system pastor on the weekends. I would go during the midweek study. We did that for 18 months. Finally, I had to bring out a seasoned pro. I had one of the assistant pastors back at my home church. Asked Ralph. I said, hey, can we bring him out? You can bring him out. He comes out. He knows God's calling him. He meets the people. He goes and tells his wife and says, hey, we're going to be moving to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we're going to be pastoring the church. I'm going to be pastoring the church there. Do you want to go out and see it? She's like, nah, if I go out and see it, I'll just hate it. Spying out the land was never really a good idea. By the way, it wasn't a good idea. I'll just get discouraged. And all the way from California, from Oceanside, California to Sioux Falls, she just cried and cried and cried and says, I'm glad I didn't come out of here first. All right? Because once you got past the Black Hills, I don't know if you've ever driven through South Dakota, Black Hills is it, folks. After that, it's, man. And they served the Lord there. She goes, nah, I don't need to spy the land. I don't need that. This is where God's called us. We're going to do that. You're going to, she goes, I would just whine and complain. I asked her. She goes, I would just whine and complain. I'd linger here. And then we'd just end up there anyways. And the pastor, he'd have to fire us to get us out there. I said, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. So look what they say in verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve our seed from our father. Because in verse 31, they said, there's no man. No, there is. But in your secluded little thing in this cave, you think that's it. And look how compromised his daughters are. Says, hey, we got to get our dad drunk. You understand? They were so compromised that incest and fathers sleeping with their children, that's how they grew up. They weren't doing it. This wasn't like a brand new idea to them. And that's oftentimes what many people bring into their walks with the Lord. They bring the world with them. And they say, hey, this is a good idea. Hey, maybe they say, hey, you know, this church I grew up to, we did this program or that program. If you don't notice, we don't have really programs here. And I just have the same conversation. I just had this a while ago. I said, so let me get this straight. You want to see maybe the church do this program. First of all, you're not participating in anything that we're doing here, so you really don't see how we're doing stuff. You can't first accomplish that. But you think this would be a good program. They're like, yeah. Well, let me ask you something. You were spiritually dead where you grew up in that church, right? Yeah. Then why would you want to bring here in that which produced spiritual death in your life there? You came to faith. You came to life. You came to a relationship with God here, right? Yeah. But it just looked like a good program. You were going to hell if you died. Doesn't matter how many patches you got, how many things you lied on, whatever things you did not know Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. So no, I do not want to. Why is Eric our children's ministry leader? Because that boy got saved when he was 5. Why is our children's ministry of dynamite? Because he loves the kids as much or more than me. And he knows what it is to be a kid at 5 and to be on fire for the Lord. He also knows what it is to be a compromised Christian, a backsliding Christian, and coming back to Christian. So he's fully complete. He's built a testimony. He's solid. But he knows what it is and why we minister and why we want kids to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord at such an early age. But this is our daughter. So, hey, let's get our dad drunk. Let him lie with him. We need to get pregnant. We've got to procreate. And they made their father drink wine with that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also and go in and lie with him also. So, hey, little sis, it's your turn. And they made their father drink wine that night. So, in other words, this wasn't like, you know, get out. They go to one city, fire and brimstone, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, gone. Then they go to a cave, and then, you know, day 3, they're sleeping with their dad. There's time involved. They didn't carry the wine with them. They got to make vineyards. They got to do stuff. So there's a lot of time. We're getting just the condensed version here. And so here they lie with them. That we proceed that, again, we're going to preserve our seed of our father. They actually think they're doing a good thing. Thus they were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son, and they called his name Moab. Find out what Moab means. Yeah, you can ask Rabbi Google tonight if you want. And the same is the father of Moab, of the Moabites, to this day. Moabites. It's going to be a problem with them when the children of Israel are departing through the book of Exodus. They're going to have problems with Moabites. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon to this day. There's still effects of this sin and this incestuous relationship to this day that's happening here. And so here, we're not going to get to chapters 20 and 21 tonight. I tried. First service was good. This is second service. First service, I nailed it. I got it down. And third service will be what I wish I would have said on my way home. Moab means one thing, and it's just a play on words, and so is Ben-Ammi of my people. Just, I'll tell you more next week. And so here's this. Genesis chapter 19, verse 29. God remembered Abraham, and Lot was saved. Can our walks, we'll live, finish tonight, can our walks with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord, an uncompromised, again, I have no problem if you're struggling with sin, key word, struggling. But if you've just given up, say, what's the use? And you give yourself over to it and you live a compromised life, you're not in the fight, you're not in the struggle. Will my relationship with God bring others to Jesus Christ as Savior and your Lord? It's the same thing that we're doing out here. How ridiculous to have a sign up there that says free barbecue food. We've had close to 30 people in this last 3 weeks come here, grab food, whether it be, and again, handing them flyers, letting them know what we're doing. Some come and said, I'll see you next week. We'll come back or whatever. We're feeding them into the kingdom of God. This is just how we roll. This is how we do church. And that's the thing that I challenge others. You know, when people say, well, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, and all these things, I go, really? I go, what a shame. Because I can't think of one atheist or one agnostic that ever started a hospital, an orphanage, feeding the poor, taking care of people, and ministering to them. They don't. They don't do that. They have no compassion, no care whatsoever for the lost or for humanity and the dregs of a society. None whatsoever. Do you realize the first 119 colleges in the United States, of the 121 colleges started, The first 119 were all Bible colleges, were all schools of theology. When the Library of Congress was started, the very first book that they printed was the Bible. The United States of America, the very first book they published was the Bible, Old and New Testament, so they could hand it out to everybody. Do you realize that the Capitol in Washington, D.C., do you know what it was used for on Sundays? Church. That's where church was held, in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. I'm giving you all the facts. Spitting off truth. You're biting off a lot. These are things. How far that we have come as a nation. How far we've come as a nation. You and I cannot influence this world. They can only influence us. But what we can do is invite them to church, invite them to these feasts, invite them to Grass Church, invite them to the park, give them the food, see what's happening. Get them to come and just see, hey, we're just hanging out. We're just doing this. Get them to come to all the events. Get them to come to the coffee house. Get them to come to the rummer sale or the maker's market that's there once a month at Sojourner's Cafe. Just to start bringing them in and just bring them to your world. You already know what's in their world. Why are you going to hang out at their city gates and try to like judge whatever and be a moral compass in their life? No. Invite them into your world. When I first became a Christian, I had a lot of sober time on my hands. What do? Started hanging out, and then I became a Christian. And I said all this time, well, what do Christians do? I learned to scuba dive. I've learned how to fly planes. I've gone on adventures. I've gone around the world. I've seen more of the world than I did when I was in the military. I've done all these things. I have an exciting life now that I know Jesus Christ is Savior and your Lord. I already know what the world's doing. They're already bummed. I already know that. One of my kids, I won't mention her name, they were working at a place. She graduated when she was 16 from our high school, you know, Eden Prairie Christian School. Eden Christian School. Eden Christian School. And some of her coworkers were mocking her. Again, I'm not going to mention her names, but I fed her a steak tonight, so she got her royalties. And they said, oh, you've been this, you've been that. You know, you've lived a really sheltered life. She goes, let me see a map. And she goes, here, 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 here. And they go, those are the only five states you've been to in your life? She goes, no, these are the only five states I haven't been to. Some of her coworkers said, I've only been to Wisconsin and Canada. And she goes, oh, and I've been to this country, that country, this country, and that country, and this country, and that country, and I've done this. Yeah. She went with one church, and they went to Fukushima after that tidal wave and after that tsunami, and they went there and ministered to people who were certainly going to die. And she goes, I did this. All before she was 18, I think. Right? Before 18? Fukushima? 17, 18? Whoever she is. 21, she went there. Okay. I know. She had longer hair back then. Anyways. That's how I gauge things, the hair length. People gauge me by the pounds. But anyways. Listen. Invite them into your world. And let them know. One of the very first things that happened when I got off, when the government and I came to an agreement and I finished my time in the barracks, this restriction, guy said, hey, man, let's go out drinking tonight. And I said, hey, no, man, I don't have to do that anymore. And they're like, what? What do you mean have to? Yeah, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. And they're like, well, I don't have to do it. Oh, yeah, try not to. Well, I don't want to not to. No, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm going over here. Where are you going? I'm going to church. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm waking up actually in the morning and not hungover. Or I'm actually got a pretty good life right now. Things are going good. Why don't you come hang out with us? And then after the Marine Corps and working on the job and working construction, and then every Monday morning on the job site, guys construction, every Monday morning if you're working with crews, like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, Friday I went to the sports park and I wrestled the bear and I did this and I was fixed that and I did all this stuff like that. And they get to me, what'd you do? Oh, man, Friday when I left here, we went street witnessing on the streets of Oceanside. Saturday, man, we went to these concerts and people got saved. Sunday I went to church, all the services, and then we did Sunday evening prayer service and stuff like that. And then we had another concert and people just got saved, and it was the same thing every week. And then finally, after a few weeks of that, they would go, hey, what'd you do? And they would just skip over me. Yeah, we know. It went Friday night evangelism, Saturday concerts. They had the whole spiel down. I go, yeah. And it was all free. And I got fed. Didn't cost me a dime. Jesus paid the full price. I'm not going to get shortchanged. How much did you pay to wrestle the bear in the sports park? A true story, by the way. I paid this and I paid that. Yeah. Had one family member, we're at a family gathering, and this person, she spent $3,000 to get a tanning machine and stuff. And you'd have to see pictures of me back in my construction days. And I said, she goes, I spent $3,000 this month to get this tan. And I said, and she looked at me and I go, there was a time I worked with my shirt off. And I said, I made $5,000 this month and I got this tan. She's like, knock it off. There you go. Lord Jesus, sinners saved by the grace of God, may we not be influenced by this world, but may we invite them and bring them into our world, because it is exciting. It is fulfilling. I have a purpose and meaning and direction in life, and I've already come from the world, and I know in the world they don't. They only have the pursuit of happiness, no guarantee of getting it. And I know that I have the joy of the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, just do that work in my life, work in my life, so you can work through my life to minister to others. And that would be the same for each and every one of us here. Just give you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. men.